I'm going to start off by saying this is not one of my strengths. Communication. But the older I get, the more I realized how important it is for us to be able to communicate one to another. And that's not always easy. It's not too hard to talk about the weather and politics and different events of the world, but it gets a little bit difficult sometimes to talk about us, where we're at, our feelings, our thoughts, our likes and our dislikes sometimes. And I believe it's easier for some to communicate than it is for others. Some people, especially females, studies show, talk a lot more than males do. Words per day, they way surpassed the male species. But it's important for all of us this morning to be able to share. And I want to start off with a verse in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. The book of Hebrews, 13th chapter. And I believe it's the 16th verse. It says, "But do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Now, I want to look at this word communicate. In looking it up in the Greek, it means a partnership, a participation, communion, and fellowship. And those are pretty strong biblical terms, fellowship and communion. It also means to impart, participate, share, to convey knowledge of or information about, make known, to transmit information, thought, or feeling so that it is satisfactorily understood. To open into each other. And that's what I liked. I like that word open. Sometimes it's hard for us to open up. But I want to tell us this morning it's very vital for us in our Christian lives. Now I know we have the Lord that we can talk to. We have the Lord that we can go to in prayer. And I don't want to take away from that this morning. But God has also placed us in families. He's also placed us in congregations. He's placed us with other people. And it's for the purpose of gathering knowledge and information and helping one another, to be an encouragement, a source of strength to one another. And we all need that. Don't live your life like an island. Don't be out there alone by yourself somewhere. You know, the enemy does everything that he can to isolate people. To isolate people in their thoughts, in their ideas, and begin to try to separate them. We were at the Portland Zoo a few years ago, and I remember being impressed with the display about the lions. Lions will run in packs. And one of their main things is, and they have a pattern that they do when they attack a prey, they have a pattern that they follow. But it's to separate the prey, and they'll choose one out, and they'll separate it from the rest of them. And the enemy likes to do that. He likes to try to separate us in our mind. And when he does, when he can separate us, think about those different people I've heard. There was one here in Jefferson, a man that he was a fireman and well known, but he committed suicide. And you think about, wow. And it was like nobody knew. I mean, it was such a shock to everybody. But somehow the enemy was able to get him isolated in his heart and mind. And it's not only out in the world. I remember years ago a couple, a married couple that was struggling in their marriage. And their marriage wasn't working out very well, and they were struggling, and they were in the saints' congregation. But I remember them saying, we didn't know where to turn to. And I thought, how can this be? They were right in the midst of a good congregation. And they said, we didn't know where to turn. We didn't know who to talk to. Do you see this morning how important it is for us to develop friendships? To be able to open our hearts. Now, I'm not saying you won't do that with everybody that you meet on the street. But you need a few people in your life that are friends, that you love, that you trust. That's been a perhaps a blessing to you in your life. You need someone that you can open your heart to and to be able to talk to and visit and share yourself, your successes, your failures, to be able to open up and to communicate one to another. We need that in our lives. That's healthy. I thought about the scripture. It talked about confess your faults one to another. We don't like to do that, do we? Our faults, we like to hide them. We don't want everybody to know our weak areas and our faults and our weaknesses. We want our strengths to be known, not our faults. But there's a source of strength that we get when we're able to open up and expose to someone else our faults and our failures. And to be able to share and know that they have our best interest at heart. And that we trust them. And they trust us. And it's very vital for us to establish friendships that go beyond just the superficial. But friendships that we can really open ourselves and our hearts up to. I want to get a scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. I believe it's about verse 9. He said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need friends in our lives. We need comrades. We need those that are walking the same path and those that would help us and be a blessing to us in our lives. And all of us need that. All of us will need a friend sometime in life. And I'm thankful that God has set it up this way that we could. But he said if one fall, if he doesn't have somebody with him, then who's going to help him up when he falls? Another scripture I wanted to get is in the 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter. 2 Samuel 20. And I'd like to start reading at the 14th verse. This is after Absalom had risen up against his father David. And not long after that, someone else had risen up and they were chasing this man, Joab. In verse 14 it said, "And he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Aiab, to Beth Maacah and all the Beerites, and they were gathered together and went also after him. And they came and besieged him and Abel of Beth Maacah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down." Here's this man that was fighting against the king, going against authority in his life, and trying to start a following, and they chased him into this city. And it said that they entrenched it. And they began to batter the wall down. So they set up this fortification. And here they are trying to batter the wall down to get to this man. And they don't know what's going on. Here they're battering the walls down and they don't really know what's gone and nothing's being done. And it took time. Here they built this entrenchment to stand against them and to batter the wall down. But in verse 16 it says, "Then cried a wise woman out of the city, 'Hear, hear, say, I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee.' And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, 'Art thou Joab?' And he answered, 'I am he.' Then she said unto him, 'Hear the words of thine handmaid.' And he answered, 'I do hear.' Then she spake, saying, 'They were wont to speak in old time, saying, They shall surely ask counsel at Abel.' And so they ended the matter." I'm not really for sure what that verse is referring to, but it's like she was recounting something that happened in the past. In verse 19 it says, "I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so. But a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said unto Joab, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab. And he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent. And Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. This lady saved the city by simply finding out what the problem was. By asking a question. Why didn't Joab send letters into the city and tell the leaders, "We're after this man"? I don't know. Joab was the head of the army. He just came and here's this man. He knows he's in the city. And they start setting up this embankment and start tearing down the city to get to this man. And I don't know why no one else went out to communicate with Joab, but said this woman finally went out. Was it fear? Afraid of the unknown? Maybe a fear of their lives. Perhaps they knew it was Joab, captain of the host. They knew Joab was a mighty man. It doesn't really tell us exactly what the problem was, but somehow there was a lack of communication. You know, a lack of communication many times causes a lot of troubles. in families, in homes, in congregations, simply because there's not a good communication. And sometimes we're afraid to communicate. Those of you that were raised in school, classroom environment, you ever been there when your teacher gave you an example on the board and then she said, "Does everybody understand? Does anyone have any questions? Raise your hand if you have any questions." And nobody raises their hand. Yet, half of the class doesn't understand. That's a real scenario. There's something about an exposure saying, "I don't get it. Would you please?" You know, it exposes and it makes us feel like maybe a little, not quite as intelligent maybe as someone else. And it makes us feel maybe a little bit belittled. I remember Brother Leslie was here a few years ago and he shared a message with us. And in his message, he talked about he was working for this farmer. And this farmer was trying to explain to him how he wanted his field plowed. He explained it once, twice, three times. And Brother Leslie kept saying, "Sir, I am sorry, but I do not get what you're wanting me to get here." And I believe the man finally started showing a picture, writing a picture, drawing it on the ground of what he wanted. But it was humiliating him, to him, to say, "I don't know. I really don't know what you want. I really don't understand. I just don't really quite have it yet." Let's not allow the enemy to intimidate us and to keep us isolated when we feel like we've got some questions and we feel like maybe we're struggling and we really don't understand. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to raise your hand or ask and say, "Hey, I'm not getting this." You know, in school, I was the type of person, I'm a good reader, but I think my comprehension was a little low. And I, many times, and I think males are more like this, but if I could see a picture, or if I could see an example, many times I would catch on just like that. But if I had to read it and dig it and figure it, I'd scratch my brain and, you know, is this what he's talking about or is this what it is? But if I could see an example and follow an example, it was easy for me to get a hold of it. I don't know if you're like that or not, but that's the way I am. Lord, help us today to be willing to open ourselves and say, "I really don't know. I really don't understand how this works." The Lord has given us parents. He's given us grandparents. He's given us people in the body of Christ. And He wants us to be able to commune with them. He wants us to be able to open our hearts to our parents, to those that are our grandparents. And He wants us to be able to receive information and knowledge. You know, young people, you have many wonderful things going for you. You've got knowledge, you've got understanding, you've got strength. You've got so many things. Youth is a wonderful thing. But you do lack something. And that's experience. And that's why God has placed the body together. He's molded together. The Lord set it up that way. We didn't set it up. The Bible talks about there being pastors and teachers and different gifts for the perfecting and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it's there for. You know, we didn't choose this, to do this. It said the Lord chose the foolishness of preaching. But Lord, help us today to recognize the need. Because I haven't been down that road yet. Don't be afraid to ask questions. How did you do it? How did you go through this period in your life? What kinds of temptations did you face? Don't be afraid to ask questions, because God will help us, and it develops a relationship. I want to share just a little bit about my personal experience of when I first got saved. I was in a wonderful congregation, and I had a wonderful pastor. And he had wonderful messages. But one of the things that helped me the most in my life, I don't think was so much the message that he preached, as it was the one-on-one times we spent together in prayer and talking together and visiting one another. That's where I really got a hold of things. That's where I really found strength and encouragement to go on. And I see so many times, sometimes people get saved. They give their hearts to the Lord and they want to serve the Lord. But when there's a failure of friendship and there's a failure of a connection and being able to open, then many times the enemy comes in and takes advantage. And then pretty soon you find them off and they're no longer encouraged. They're discouraged and they've given up God. Oh, we need one another. We need the input from one another's life. I think about one of my favorite things in the Bible is the account of David and Saul's son, Jonathan. They had a relationship. And you know, if you look at the natural aspect of their relationship, it doesn't look practical. I mean, it doesn't look... the king's son is best friends to the next king. But you know, Jonathan, I believe he loved David more. I believe Jonathan would have just... I believe he would have let David be king. He loved his relationship with David. Their soul was knit together. And when Jonathan passed, David mourned. It hurt him grievously because they were so close. They were together. Oh, the Lord wants us to be able to establish relationships that way. People that we can pray together with. And I know the Lord, those of us that are married, we have our wives that we can commune with. But I still believe we need brothers, and wives still need sisters that they can commune with, that they can share with, that they can relate to. Oh, it's so valuable in our walk, in our experience today, to be able to have relationships. They don't just come though. We've got to invest in them. We've got to work in them. We've got to take the time. It takes time to establish a relationship. It's that way with husband and wife. Just because they live together and have children doesn't mean they're going to be close. They've got to take time together to be able to commune together. Don't be surprised, some of you have married your wife ever say, "It's time to talk." If you're not married, you might hear that in a few years after you get married. It's time to talk. Well, I think the forecast is pretty good, and next few days are going to be nice and sunny. And let me give you a hint. It's not what she wants to talk about. She wants to know your heart. She wants to know your thoughts. She wants to commune with you. Don't have any hiding places. Don't have any secluded places in husband and wife relationships. You've got to be open. You know, sometimes you have to talk about things that you really don't want to talk about. Here in Joab, they had a situation they didn't want to deal with. But I want to tell us something. Problems like that don't just go away on their own. You've got to talk. You've got to open up and discuss. When you've done wrong, you've got to apologize. You know, sometimes there can get to be a little distance because maybe you said something that hurt your wife. Or maybe she said something that hurt you and you just kind of, it just gets to be a little bit of a distance there. You got to cross it. If you want to be close, you got to put it all on the table. You got to say, here it is. But the Lord can give us good, close relationships. Lord, help us today to have those. The Lord wants our marriages. He wants them to be close. Our families, He wants them to be close. He wants you to be able to talk and open up. And it's going to take great effort, great humility, great courage to be able to do that. But it's so vital. It takes humility. If this woman wouldn't have gone and spoken to Joab, what do you think would have happened? How does a relationship get to the point to where it comes to a divorce? How does it go that far? How do people get to... At one time, they were in love. One time, they were so excited and enthralled and in love. And then now they get to a point to where it's not going to work. Many times, it's a lack of communication. A lack of humility. A lack of opening up and understanding one another. There's another scripture in Proverbs, the 20th chapter I want to get. Proverbs, the 20th chapter. I believe it's the 5th verse. He said, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but of man of understanding will draw it out. You know, a lot of times people have understanding, they have counsel, they have many times what we need, but we've got to put forth some effort to draw it out. And we can do that many times just by simply asking. How did you do that? How did you go through that time in your life? How did you handle that problem or that situation? Or maybe we're in a problem or situation. You know, the Lord helps us to see. He allows many times problems and difficult things and in an effort to help you and I see ourselves. I remember, and I don't remember what minister brother it was, but I remember some of the and I don't remember who shared this, but it was a minister brother, and he went around the different places holding meetings. And he had a problem in one congregation. Then he had a problem with another congregation. Was that Brother Chandler? He kept having these problems with these different people. He was praying about it, and finally the Lord spoke to him. He said, "It's not them, it's you." Sometimes when we keep having the same problem, you know what the fool does? You know what the world does? They always blame it on somebody else. And the older I've gotten, the more that I've seen that. People spend their entire lives blaming their trouble and their problem on the other person. And there's a long list, a long string, a pattern, but it's always somebody else. Lord, help us to be able to be honest. I believe the message the other day was good ground. Providing that good ground is when we become honest with ourselves and we recognize our weaknesses and our failures, that it's not always the other person. Lord, help us today. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Sometimes there's what we call temper tantrums, temper problems. People fly off the handle. Why does that happen? It's a lack of communication. They hold things into themselves, and it builds up. Something else happens, and the pressure begins to build and build and build. And there's never any outlet until pretty soon they can't stand it no more, and then they fly off the handle and blow up. Communication will help that situation. If we'll open up our hearts and confide and have someone close to you that you can talk to and say, I'm struggling in this area. Would you please pray with me? Would you help me? Would you give me some counsel and advice? How do you do this? We can save ourselves a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment. Confess your faults one to another. You know, there's something about opening up and being able to share that can start the healing process. There's something about, and I've seen that in people's lives, when they got to the point where they were just completely down to the bottom and they opened up, they began to find help and they began to find healing. Lord, help us today to be able to work at establishing friendships. Help us to be able to form those bonds in our families, our parents and our grandparents. God has them there for a purpose. They're there for us to receive help and encouragement and strength in life. They'll be a great blessing to us. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And the Lord will bless us and help us. I thank God for the way He set the body. We need each other. We need one another's strengths. We need one another's gifts, one another's talents. We need each other as the people of God. Don't let the devil isolate you. Don't let him begin to cause hard feelings and offenses to be able to separate you from relationships, what God wants us to be, because it's through those relationships that we are able to grow and we're able to prosper. People that spend their entire lives just going through life, failing really to communicate and just blaming everybody else, they don't grow. They don't mature. They don't feel the place that God wants them to feel. Lord, help us today. Not to be just alone, but Lord, help us to be connected to the body. Help us to have a fellowship, a communion. You know, Jesus had His disciples, and I believe He was close to all 12 of them. But there was three that He took even closer. And you and I need that. We need a circle of friends, but we also need some real close bosom partners that have our best interest at heart. The Lord works that way. He works that way. He works through people. He uses one another to be a blessing and a help to each other. So let's work at opening ourselves and communing and fellowship. You know, sometimes we get together Sunday, we get together Wednesday night, Sunday night, but how well do we really know one another? How well do we really know each other as people? You know, we need to invite people over into our homes. There's something about sitting down at a meal together and spending time and doing things together that forges relationships. Oh, and it's so valuable to us today. It's so valuable. Appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me.